It's time for your North Iowa news on KCHA for Thursday, May 15th. I'm Mark Pitts reporting. A North Iowa man is facing a felony theft charge for allegedly stealing over $10,000 from a booster club. In March, the Chickasaw County Sheriff's Office began investigating suspicious activity involving the bank account of the Nashville Plainfield Athletic Booster Club. On March 27th, the club Facebook post said that they were alerted by Lincoln Savings Bank of suspicious activity on our account. The account was frozen and law enforcement was immediately contacted. A full investigation is underway. We are working with law enforcement to ensure the situation is resolved. Sheriff Ryan Shaver says CCSO was initially contacted by the Booster Club on March 21st. On Tuesday, 38-year-old Jordan White of Nashville was charged with first-degree theft, a Class C felony. According to the criminal complaint, between January 2nd and March 5th, White is accused of withdrawing cash from the Nashville Plainfield Booster Club checking account for personal expenses that were not authorized Booster Club purchases. He also allegedly made unauthorized transactions with the debit card that were personal expenses. The unauthorized withdrawals and debit card transactions totaled in excess of $10,000. White is scheduled for an initial appearance May 22nd in Chickasaw County District Court, with formal arraignment slated for June 3rd. Today marks the 57th anniversary of the tornado that devastated Charles City on May 15, 1968. To commemorate the occasion, Mayor Dean Andrews says he hopes citizens will participate in today's Day of Service by helping clean up around town, like members of his Mayor's Youth Council.
Trail cleanup from the high school over to Fifth Avenue, so underneath the First Avenue Bridge there. And if you've been on the trail, that's an area that we're talking about redoing the trail in that area. But there's also just a lot of down branches and a lot of debris and stuff. And so that's going to be their project that day. And it's not just going to be these 10 kids from the youth council. What they're going to do is reach out to the whole high school.
Andrews notes the youth council also serves as a valuable resource for input for city leaders.
A lot of the meetings I've gone to, different cities talk about they have a mayor's youth council or they have a youth representative on the city council who can't vote, obviously, because they weren't voted in, but just to give their perspective. So I thought having a youth council of kids at the high school would be a good way for me to hear what high school kids think about Charles City and what they see as things we have, things we don't have.
Mark Wicks with Main Street Charles City says Day of Service offers a different way to remember the destructive tornado of 1968.
People tend to think that it's a bad anniversary date. We can change the narrative. You know, we're never going to forget what happened, but we can make it a positive.
Wicks encourages all ages to participate today in an activity to benefit others or Charles City overall, no matter how big or small, then let people know about it.
We encourage people, if you do something, to post it on your social media, share it with our Main Street Facebook page. And the Charles Theater is working with us that everybody who volunteers to do something that day is invited to come down to the service window at the Charles Theater and get a free bag of movie popcorn.
The free popcorn is available from 4:30 to 6 p.m. today. For more information on the Day of Service, contact Main Street Charles City or visit Main Street Charles City on Facebook. The tornado that struck Charles City 57 years ago today was one of five twisters the late afternoon, early evening of May 15, 1968. According to weather.gov, the tornadoes included two F1s, one F2, and two F5s, and were part of the May 15 to 16, 1968 outbreak of 39 tornadoes over 10 states. The twisters in Iowa caused 18 fatalities, including 13 in Charles City and two each in Olwine and Maynard. The Charles City tornado, impacting Franklin, Butler, Floyd, Chickasaw, and Howard counties, was the first Iowa twister that afternoon and was first sighted passing over a farmstead northeast of Hansel around 4:10 p.m. The tornado moved through the eastern edge of Iredale, where two tornadoes were seen simultaneously. The tornado was observed to lift briefly at Marble Rock, then grew larger and more intense as it approached Charles City, striking the city about 4:50 p.m. Almost a half mile wide, the tornado passed directly through town from south to north, devastating about 60% of the city. Damage was estimated up to $30 million. Debris from Charles City was found in Leroy, Minnesota, about 35 miles north. A receipt from a service station was found in Winona, Minnesota, about 80 miles away. The tornado damaged all of the churches in town, but left the bar standing. The tornado was on the ground for 65 miles, continuing to Elma and dissipating south of Chester, 4 miles south of the Iowa-Minnesota border. According to weather.gov, while Charles City was being ravaged by its own F5 tornado on May 15, 1968, an F5 twister that leveled sections of Olwine was touching down southwest of Olwine at about 4:57 p.m. that day. The warning sirens sounded for only 15 seconds before power failed. Some witnesses said they saw more than one tornado. The twister then moved north through the western part of Maynard, then turned almost straight north for another 5 miles before lifting. Damage estimates ranged upwards of $21 million, most of which occurred in Olwine. Four people were killed. Tornadoes that day also touched down at 4:58 p.m. at Jackson Junction and 6:15 p.m. near Cresco. On May 24, 1968, Iowa Governor Harold Hughes requested just over $2 million in supplemental federal assistance to help repair public facilities in Charles City and Olwine. On May 29, 1968, President Lyndon B. Johnson declared the state of Iowa as a disaster area. The Chickasaw County Sheriff's Office will be getting a new patrol vehicle later this month or sometime in June. Sheriff Ryan Shaver made a purchase request to the Board of Supervisors Monday for a 2025 Tahoe that was not in the budget for the current fiscal year.
Based on the month-end report that I got in April and some figures that I put in where I think things are going to potentially end up. So many unknowns in this profession, but I've been comfortable with purchasing this if that's the direction you want to go. The fleet still needs to be maintained. I know I did not budget for one this next 25-26 fiscal year. We'll see where things come out on that. The budget year is going to be a lot tighter compared to what this current one is.
The request comes in the wake of a challenging budget season in which the county was forced to make several cuts for the 2025-26 fiscal year. Thus, Supervisor Isaac Carter worried about the optics for the county.
My only concern is the public persona that is just laying all these people off and cutting things and environment of the year. It's not going to be a good look.
Supervisor Scott Cerwinski agreed, but also stressed the importance of the vehicle to law enforcement operations.
I understand the concerns that Isaac has, and I think we probably all have the same concerns, but at the same time, when somebody calls the sheriff's office, they want somebody to respond, and we need vehicles, and I mean, to me, that the vehicle is no different than the gun or vest or anything else. It's all part of the tools they need to do their job.
Shaver also understood the concerns while noting the sheriff's office is always on duty, whether it's a vehicle in need of repairs or they're shorthanded on staff, currently down two deputies, one due to injury, and a dispatcher.
I'm a 24-hour, 7 days a week office. The phones need to be answered. Things need to be dispatched out. Staff needs to be out there. When I have staff out, I just can't say, sorry, we're closed today.
Supervisors approved the purchase of the new sheriff's vehicle for just over $51,000 on a 4-1 vote, with Carter casting the lone no vote. More North Iowa news on the way on KCHA.